You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. You're hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Christ my King. What a wonderful name. powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. Silence the boasts of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. Oh, death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. Silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. Oh, death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. Silence the boast of sin and grave. Heavens are roaring, praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. And yours is a kingdom, yours is a glory, yours is a
wisdom, open my eyes again. Spirit of revelation, open my heart again. Spirit of wisdom, open my eyes again. Spirit of revelation, open my heart again. 'Cause I want to see you, Lord, I want to want to see you, see you rightly, Jesus. I want to see you, Lord. I want to see you rightly, Jesus. Spirit of wisdom, open my eyes again. Spirit of revelation, open my heart again. Spirit of wisdom, open my eyes again. Spirit of revelation, open my heart again. 'Cause I wanna see you. See you rightly, Jesus. I want to see you, Lord. I want to see you rightly, Jesus. I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your head is white as wool. And I know that your voice sounds like water. Jesus, you're beautiful. And I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your head is white as wool. And I know that your voice sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. White as wool, and I know that your voice sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. And I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. And I know that your head is white as wool, and I know that your voice sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful.
Flames of fire, and I know that your head is white as wool, and I know that your voice sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. I know that your eyes are like flames of fire, and I know that your head is white as wool, and I know that your voice sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. Like flames of fire, and I know that your head is white as wool, and I know that your voice sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. There is none like you, Lord. Jesus, you're beautiful. There is none Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful.
First and last.
every child on the people of. Before no one is first and last, every knee will bow and tongue confess. You be the glory. To you be the power.
All hail the Savior of the world.
was a moment when the lights went out, when death claimed his victory. The King of love had given up his life, the darkest day in history. Curse your blood atone. The final breath in it is finished, and not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. The sacrifice was made as the heaven.
we're singing.
Holy, you are holy.
Oh, we're singing.
You are holy. Cry out, holy. You are holy.
Holy Father.
Holy, holy forever, worthy, you're worthy forever, holy, you're holy forever, you're worthy, you're worthy forever, you're holy forever,
Lord, you're the Holy One. Just continue to sing that out to Him. You're worthy. You are holy. You're the Holy One. Yes, Lord. We worship you. Just lift our voices up to you. You're the good Father, and you are worthy of all our love. You're worthy of all our praise. You're the amazing One, the mighty One. Thank you, Lord. Second Corinthians 5, it says that if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Basically, if we're crazy for Him, it's for Him that we're crazy. If we are of a sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us. Another version says that the love of Christ controls us. It's not a bad control. It's love motivating everything of who we are, that core root of love. Because we judge thus, that if one, Jesus, died for all, then all died, and He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. That's for us, America. That's for us. Frontline, that's for us, body of Christ. That if one died for all, then all died, and He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, again, the therefore is a reason. If anyone, say anyone, is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things That's all things have become new. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. What more do you say to that? Yes, Lord. All things have become new. Father, I thank you that even now you're making all things new in us. Those who've said yes to you, those who will say yes to you today if we haven't said yes yet, that all things would become new, that you come and redeem and restore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us as we are. You love us too much. It's your love that compels us. It's your love that moves you to do what you did. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We've been reconciled, made right, restored, relationship restored. And then he gave us that ministry, the same ministry of reconciliation, to restore people to the Father. And it finishes off in verse 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are called as ambassadors, and it all starts at the cross, that reconciliation that took place there at the cross because he died. But he didn't just die, as it says, he resurrected back to life. He's not on the cross anymore. He's alive, but that's through the power of his blood shed that that's how we walk in newness of life. And today, Lord, I just believe that as we take communion, that we are taking that blood that was shed for us, the representation, the bread that was broken, which is your body, Jesus, broken for us, that we would be whole, that we would be restored, that our sins be removed, that we would be reconciled, made right, restored, made whole with you, Lord Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you give us then that ministry of reconciliation to help others come into that truth and that wholeness and that life. So today, Father, I just thank you that you're releasing that. As we going to put on a music video here, and just want you to just receive from the Lord. And as you feel led to take the communion elements during this, feel free to do that. But it's a music video, and just let it speak to your heart, because the Lord has set us free for a purpose. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, that we are ambassadors representing him. So, Lord, I just, at whatever point people feel led to take the elements, Lord, I sanctify them as the body of Jesus broken for us, sanctified as the blood of Jesus shed for us. And, Lord, that is to release new life today, new courage, new encouragement, new strength. Release healing, Father, healing of bodies, healing of hearts this morning, healing of relationships, that you would reconcile everyone to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine. Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Lord, we speak your name, Jesus. Yes, Lord. And let's begin to shout our praise. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Father, for victory in every family, Father, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Holy One. We have the best dad in the whole world. The best dad in the whole world. Because he gave us his son, Jesus. There's no greater gift than Jesus from the Father to us. It's insane when we think about it. In fact, I can't even think that we can think about it. It's mind-blowing. We're going to think about it for eternity. We really are. We're going to be blown away by the love of the Lord revealed to us again and again and again, where we're just going to sing and worship and shout forever because he's so good and he's so kind. And I admit, I don't even fully comprehend what he's fully done and given to us in Jesus. And we receive bits and pieces of it. And if you haven't taken the elements, like Troy was sharing from communion, please do. That was part of what was happening in the song. But we would like to pray out and obviously thank our Heavenly Father, the best dad in the whole world, but also to honor all the dads in here with, there's a lovely bag of popcorn out there in the back with a prayer on it. So we're going to read it and declare this out. So if you're in here and you're a father, I encourage you to stand. If you're a grandpa and you're in here, you can stand. There's all kinds of things. And one of the awesome things about the Lord is that he's a God of generations. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's always the father's blessing that happened in the Old Testament. And so we're just going to read and declare this over you today. Receive it deep on the inside, and we know that the Lord's going to multiply it. Say, Lord, thank you for each father today. May each dad continue to receive your love, affection, and approval as father. Thank you for the dads who have led their families as you design with total dependence and trust in you. Thank you for the dads who have taken the challenge to walk closely with you no matter the cost. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for answering the cry of each dad's heart as he demonstrates to his family and others the love, honor, and commitment to Jesus that you first ordained. Lord, reveal yourself in ways that will lead each father into the fullness of all you have given and promised for them. Ignite a holy passion for you that will permeate their mind, will, and emotions, strengthening them in their inner man as they follow you wholeheartedly. May children obey and follow their godly example, deeply loving, honoring, and respecting their fathers. May your intended inheritance become a fortified legacy of love and power that will impact generations. May your father's heart capture each dad fresh and new today. And I declare this over all the fathers and myself. May you be filled with holy fear and intentional joy as you cry out to the lover of your soul and Father in heaven who delights in you. He rejoices over you with singing. He is proud of you. He is leading you forward to carry his glory and his light in the darkness. As you surrender to him, give your all today. Never give up and always believe the impossible. May you be blessed, strengthened, and encouraged today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we declare that out over you and all the fathers in Jesus' name. We have the best dad in the whole world. All right. Now the ladies are coming because we had an awesome all-night prayer, and they have a video and update and everything else. Bless you.
Amen. Father, we thank you for these dads. Can we just say hallelujah for the dads in this house? These strong men of God in this house, and we're so thankful for each and every one. So Friday night was incredible. We were here from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m., encountering God, experiencing his presence, partnering with his heart, and there was a definite increase for this watch of the Lord. It was amazing. We got in the word. We were declaring the word. We were just unified as a body. It was so incredible to see all the families that came out. There were kids in sleeping bags. There were kids worshiping all night with us and praying. It was really a beautiful sight to behold.
Yeah, I always look forward to these times. You might think, how can you go from 9 until 5? But honestly, from my heart, there is joy in the house of the Lord, and the time goes by fast. I'm getting pretty old, and I don't really feel it too much until like 3. So, I mean, if I can do it, you can do it. I mean, it's a holy, sacred time when we come together in unity. This is how God brings his kingdom to the earth. He puts the prayers of what he wants, what's on his heart, to us, and then we pray it out, and then he does it. It's awesome, and it's part of his plan. It's a part of our priestly role. It's part of why we're here, and so it feels good, it feels right, and it's really, really important, and it was awesome.
And we had some pastors from the community join us, and we just want to see that continue to increase. So we believe that God wants to bring even increased unity in the body of Christ. And so we're trying to get the word out more about these events, and we invite you to join us in that. You can mark your calendars. Our next corporate prayer event is July 19th. So the third Friday of every month is typically our corporate prayer night. So we have a lighthouse prayer coming up July 19th. That one's just 7 to 9 p.m., so you guys can all do it, all right? Just plan for it. And then same in August as well, August 16th, Lighthouse Prayer. And then in September, we have another week of 24/7 prayer coming up. That'll be September 15th to the 22nd. So please plan for that, mark it on your calendars, and come on out. Thank you, guys. Bless you. Thank you so much for all those that were here on Friday night. Or on Zoom, yes, that's... Thank you for joining us on Zoom as well. That's also an option. So.
Kids to Kingdom Land.
Wow.
They were ready.
Don't have to say it twice. Well, you can see I have a short outline today, but all that means is I can fill in all the rest. So pray for this time. We have released the hilarious giving opportunities for June. You know, we have a team leaving for Ghana. Thought there'd be a little reaction. Team leaving for Ghana in July, and we want to support that team. So if you've not had your eye a little bit, a team member from that team, the team seems to be expanding a little bit. Kind of cool. You have your opportunity, explains it on here. We also continue to have some other needs in Ghana and the Frontline Children's Home. If you're part of being a sponsor of that and you have the ability to turn in their schooling fees, please do that. It's overtime. I mean, it's past time. There's fees are due, and we need your support to send that out to them. So if you're part of the sponsors of the Children's Home, please step into that with your finances to support their schooling. Take a look at the hilarious giving opportunities for June so you get the specifics. If someone needs a copy, our good friend here will pass one to you. You can raise your hand if you didn't get one. Just, if nothing else, pray into it, right? We're not begging for money. We're begging for God to meet these needs. He always does. Thank you, Lord. You're the one. Okay, have that. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time, this Father's Day, 2024, in the year of the open door. It means something, God. We pray, Jesus, that you would open the door of each of our hearts as fathers,
to receive your Father's love to the maximum, to give out your Father's love to the maximum, and often that comes with a challenge to us as well as to others. Father, may we step up in being a father like you. You're our example. We're not looking around necessarily for examples on the earth. You're our example, and you are the perfect father, the best dad in the whole world. Thank you, Father. We look to you as our example, and that means we always are being stretched. We are always going lower. We are always seeking higher things of the kingdom through you, for you. Father, we pray that we'd have wisdom in these days, these last days, Father. Great wisdom from you. We invite it. We put out the red carpet for the Holy Spirit to bring every bit of wisdom that we need as fathers. And all the rest, Father, in the tribe. God, we thank you, Jesus, you're doing that with this strategic strike force, Father, of Frontline Ministries. We don't take it lightly. Thank you, Father. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, you know, I could go fluffy or not. So I decided on the not. We've been talking about building our own little kingdom and building the kingdom of God and the contrast between those two. The title of today's message, which I don't always give, and I sometimes am late in giving it to the people that want it when they come up afterwards. A father is a kingdom man. Right? And those that want to be fathers need to be kingdom men in the making as well. So when we talk about Matthew 6:33, which has been the theme when I've been speaking the last few times, but seek ye first his kingdom. Fathers need to seek his kingdom first, even above family concerns, so that God is in the proper place as the authority over the family, as the authority over their lives. And then the righteousness comes. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you seek his kingdom first, the righteousness starts to come to the man. And he does become this kingdom man. And all these things will be added unto you. You know, all the provider men of your home. But you know who the true provider is. The one that can go beyond the paycheck. The one that can go beyond just physical things and get into the supernatural, spiritual things that you need to impart into your family. What father doesn't feel like he needs to do that better? Every one of us. We need to do that better. To impart into our families the spiritual tone, the spiritual atmosphere that's needed in our families. Every man has that challenge as a father. And Lord, we thank you for the ones that are preparing to be fathers. God, we pray, God, that they would be in that process intentionally thinking about how you want them to become an amazing father and even outdistance some of us that are already fathers. So seeking the kingdom of God first as a kingdom man, as a kingdom father, that's on the father's heart. And so we talked over the last couple of times that I spoke about other kingdoms you could be building. We're contending in Frontline not to build those, but to build the kingdom of God, to avoid the traps of the religious kingdom, the building your financial kingdom, building your own little kingdom in any way, building a family kingdom that supersedes the kingdom of God. That was never his intention. Family is hugely important to God. But he wants him to be so high above in our attention that our family is affected spiritually in a multiplied way through us. We can talk about God in our families, say, yeah, this family's for God, and then do everything we want to do and think that fun and frolic and everything is going to build our families because they're going to like us as parents or something. They're going to appreciate. They're going to have gratitude. But if they don't have gratitude towards God, they will quickly wane in their gratitude towards parents. That is a given. You cannot have enough fun with your kids in order for them to like you enough to suddenly like your values. They will forget it quicker than not. Because to have gratitude, you need the Spirit of God at work in your heart. Did you hear me? You need the Spirit of God at work in your heart to have gratitude. How many families have seen their kids after they poured everything into them? They made them the priority. How many have seen their kids walk away from the family and be mad or angry at the parents? How can that be? They don't have the gratitude of the Holy Spirit working inside of them. Natural gratitude is so easily dismissed in a person's heart. So we talked about that family kingdom, that it cannot supersede. And that's a tricky one, because we do want to value families. So essentially, we're wanting to build on the rock and not on the sand. That's a passage in Matthew 7. Turn with me or see it on your phone. I didn't give the scriptures out for the people to put it up on the screen. I want you to work a little bit today. Matthew 7, 24. Still looking through all my markings. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Think of Matthew 6:33. If you're listening and following through with Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God first, then he says, you will be a wise man who builds on the rock. Now, obviously, we're talking about fathers and men today, so if you hear that, ladies, you know it applies to you. Okay? This is an exception day. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew. Does that happen with families? Does that happen with Christians? Of course. And slammed against that house. Anyone ever feel slammed against? Attacked? Trials? Tribulations? The Bible promises you'll have tribulations. Isn't that a great promise? The other promises, but that one, you will have tribulation. Woo! Thank you, God. And yet it did not fall. Thank you, Lord. That's a promise. Did not fail, did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. If we seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and all these things are added unto us, all these things mean we aren't going to fall. Just thought there'd be a reaction to that. Us not falling. Joy should break out in the house. We could just start dancing on that. Thank you, Lord. You're not going to let us fall if we have our priorities right and are building on the rock. And the rain. Let's see. And anyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And its collapse was great. Contrast in the Bible, right? He always gives a contrast. We love it because it's clear. Build on the sand, you fall. Build on the rock, and you stand. Because of Jesus. When your priorities, spiritual priorities are right, all things are added unto you, including standing, persevering, being able to go through any storm and still come out of it on the rock. Probably I've said this before, but repeat is part of the Bible as well. When we were in Mozambique on one trip, we decided it would be a great idea to build on top of a sand dune. I don't know what we were thinking. We had our Bibles with us. And we had tents. We put them on the top because we could see the ocean. But it gets dark there very early at night. It's not like, you know, you have until 9 o'clock to look out over the ocean and see the waves come in. It gets dark early. And so it quickly became dark, and we felt those winds. Not the waves, fortunately. We were far enough away, and we're on high ground. But we felt the winds and the rains slamming against the tents. And we suddenly realized, ooh, we are not in a good place here. At the top of a hill during a rainstorm with all the winds blowing around. And so we're trying to hold our tents, literally, trying to hold them up as all this came against the tents. And we went into streets, you know, the next day, and they were flooded. So we're sloshing around in all this. And we were looking at one another, the wise man among us. And I'm probably the least adept at camping. And they looked at me. That's not a very good scenario to be in. The only real bright spot for me was while I was holding the tent so it didn't blow away. And, you know, you kind of are like this, trying to keep it from just taking you somewhere. That the rain had come in. The waters had come into the tent because of the heavy rains, and they started to go into our stuff. But Pastor Mary Pat's Bible, it went right around her Bible. So I'm like this, looking at this. I can't stop it. I can't really even put my foot out to stop it, the water coming in, but it went right around her Bible. And I thought, I need to give this woman more respect. Thank you, Father, for the lessons of life. So, build on the rock. A simple lesson, right? And if you remember that particular example, it will help you remember to build on the rock of Jesus. Build to be a kingdom man, to be a kingdom woman. Luke 14, go with me there. Who's with me on these? Can you raise your hand? I just want to know, who's going to these? Good, good. That's a good thing. Luke 14, 28. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? We just had a new floor put in our house. We had to sit down first to see if we could afford it, to have this new floor put down where the carpet for the old Bible study, I shouldn't say old Bible study, it was old carpet, the Bible study when we first started in our home. It's not the old Bible study. And that carpet was still there with all the spills of everyone that came in, and because we didn't have a whole lot of rules other than pile your shoes up at the door. It's really funny. Pile your shoes up over here at the door. So we'd have this massive pile of shoes of young people and so on. But we let them take their drinks throughout the house. Teenagers, how foolish. And when we had dessert, pie and things like that, it wasn't very often, but when we did, and then we had Carson, never mind, we'll want to know what it looked like underneath. You do not want to know. But we had to calculate the cost to have this floor put in. And then, you know, it was a little bit of, we were going to put some floor in some other areas, and it was a little doubt, and, you know, are we really going to do that? We're going to put carpet in? So we have all this wood in our house and trying to figure out whether we're going to use it or not. And you have to calculate the cost of, okay, can we return this if we don't use it? All these calculations so that you don't go broke, right, on a project. And the Lord has that spiritually for us. So he says, if anyone comes to me, 27:28. Whoever does not, 28:29. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who are watching it will begin to ridicule him, saying, this person began to build and was not able to finish. Look at that. What a fool. In Ghana, when we go there, or Mozambique, you'll see many shells of houses that were started. And all the weeds and everything have taken over. And obviously, they didn't calculate, you know, even if they were going to do it in phases, they didn't calculate the cost of building a house because it's just sitting there and it's not being completed. Someone didn't calculate. Well, we're gracious enough not to laugh at that. But it's a heavy toll if it's spiritually that we're talking about counting the cost. There is a real cost if you do not seek the kingdom of God, right? We are seeing that more and more and more in our age. Almost weekly, there is a spiritual leader in the body of Christ that is being found out or being unmasked, or at least we hear reports of them not living up to being a kingdom man. In serious business, the enemy is trying to take out the leaders, take out the shepherds. You pray for us. Pray for us against all these things that are coming against leaders. But we're going to stand. But we need your support. We need you to. That works, and that will keep us from falling or not counting the cost or whatever it might be or becoming deceived. You need to pray. We don't stand on our own. We stand with your prayers. We stand with the Spirit of God, and then we will break that tape strong at the end. That's what you want to see for us, right? Oh, I like that. Good reaction there. We've talked quite a bit about counting the cost, building on the rock, seeking first the kingdom of God first. Well, we have a handout. We have a couple handouts today. Doesn't mean we're going to go through them all. Better not take the time to do that. If I can have a couple people pass these out. And if we don't have enough, let Ashley know and we'll make some more copies somehow. Ashley Miller, that is. I can make copies, but I didn't know how to make them and sold them. So she knew how, and some others know how. It takes a village. Guess I gave them all out. I need one. Thank you. So we're going to read through this together because it's kind of a summary of everything that I've been teaching, and this was written probably 10 years ago. So this has been a theme in this house about building your own little kingdom and building the kingdom of God instead. And it's helped a number of people avoid the mistakes of not knowing the difference. Building your own little kingdom, thinking it is God's kingdom, is deception. Building your own little kingdom instead of building God's kingdom is rebellion. Now, we can think of others in our lives that we see do this, right? Let's try to think of ourselves. It's easy to find people who are in rebellion or deception outside of ourselves. Let's see what little deceptions or little rebellions in us, okay? So kind of keep this close to your own heart. Building your own little kingdom while attempting to build God's kingdom is contradiction. Building God's kingdom in spirit and in truth is worship, John 4:24. When a person doesn't fully accept Jesus as the reigning king of the true kingdom, then he demands the release of a Barabbas, a robber, a murderer, and an insurrectionist to be part of an inferior little kingdom being built? Is it any wonder that the enemy can steal, kill, and destroy when an inferior kingdom is chosen instead of the abundant life offered by Jesus in the true kingdom? If you want to make a note there, that's John 10:10. Remember, the Jews rejected the Messiah they had supposedly been waiting to celebrate. We do the same if we try to empower our little inferior kingdom to reign over the true kingdom. John 18:37-40 and John 10:10. I guess it's there for you. "Don't judge me, or you are judging me," is often the cry of the person building his own little kingdom. "Search me, O God, and know my heart," is always the cry of the person building the Father's kingdom. Psalm 139:23. Selfishness is the glaze on every brick when you build your own little kingdom. We were in Mozambique not long ago, and we saw Pastor Jose's brick-making operation and saw that how they put the glaze on the bricks. If you have the wrong glaze on your brick, it's not a good thing. Selflessness is the mortar that holds every brick together when you are building the Father's kingdom. The person building his own little kingdom immensely enjoys the fact that God loves the vilest of sinners. The person who is building the Father's kingdom immensely enjoys the fact that he doesn't have to test God's love to intensely experience it. Romans 6. A person who is building his own little kingdom demands that others love and accept him for who he is. A person who is building the Father's kingdom wants others to love him into what God intends for him to become. Proverbs 27:6. A person building his own little kingdom is on a continual, agonizing search for significance. A person building the Father's kingdom has found his fullest identity freely in Jesus. You are the face when you are building your own little kingdom. Jesus is the face when you are building the Father's kingdom. Doubt and unbelief reign in the person who is building his own little kingdom. Faith and trust reign in the person who is building the Father's kingdom. You are often overwhelmed if you are building your own little kingdom. You are constantly overcoming when you are building the Father's kingdom. A powerless orphan builds his own little kingdom. A powerful son or daughter builds his or her Father's kingdom. Building your own little kingdom and calling it God instead of building the kingdom of God in humility and calling him Lord is the epitome of building your house on the sand. The rains, floods, and winds have every right to destroy self-made structures without the protection of God being guaranteed. Matthew 7:21-27. Blame is a major part of the conversation of a person who is building their own little kingdom and not submitting to the kingdom. People who are constantly run by their emotions, "Listen to my feelings, world," build high walls against the very deep Father's love that they so desperately need. Building one's own little kingdom with decrees that keep Father's love and those that share it at arm's length versus receiving with humility the kingdom of God within. That's Luke 17:21, if you want to put a note there. Including Father's amazing affection, I will promote the latter. You need to receive with humility the kingdom of God within, not put a hand in God's face. The enemy is empowered when you are building your own little kingdom. The enemy is often rendered completely powerless when you are building the Father's kingdom. You get sick and tired when you're building your own little kingdom. You get empowered and inspired when you are building the Father's kingdom. Lies and deceptions rule when you are building your own little kingdom. Spirit and truth rule when you are building the Father's kingdom, John 4:24. The terms radical, laid down lover, revivalist, and world changer do not apply when describing a person building his own little kingdom, despite his posting of wonderful sounding phrases on Facebook. These terms not only apply to the person truly building God's kingdom, but his tribe will increase because he is contagious. 2 Timothy 2:2. Lack is inevitable when building your own little kingdom. Abundance is inevitable when building the Father's kingdom, John 10:10. You are disconnected from the Father's heartbeat when you are building your own little kingdom. Your heartbeat is one with the Father's heartbeat when you are building his kingdom. Blame and excuses rise up within you if you're building your own little kingdom. Blessing and encouragement rise up within you if you build your Father's kingdom. Think Pastor Mary Pat on that one. So many orphaned tumbleweeds carried about by every contrary wind, so few father farmers to plant their roots deep within good soil. Thank you, Lord, that you are raising up many more faithful kingdom fathers. Deception is powerful and real. If you are in deception, you will find someone or many others to blame for your present impure choices. You believe so many lies that you will almost always need someone who is living purely for Jesus in truth to pull you up from the quagmire of the pit. Someone led by the Holy Spirit, partnering with him, or Holy Spirit himself directly. Talk will always be the cheapest part of following Jesus, especially posting the profound sayings of revivalists as my Facebook posts. The most expensive part is allowing Jesus to radically live in me. But sacrificial investment yields great reward. Galatians 2:20. Honoring kingdom presence plus kingdom power plus kingdom principles plus kingdom community equals true kingdom freedom, true kingdom love, true kingdom life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10. A person may say, I want to be just like Jesus. I ask, which Jesus? The one Jesus that only deals with salvation, part of the gospel, or the real Jesus that saved, healed, delivered, and raised the dead unto abundant and eternal life? Following the real Jesus requires receiving the supernatural presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Anything else falls short of a powerful, overcoming gospel. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Proverbs 27:6. Just because someone agrees with you as a negative agreement doesn't mean they are your best friend. A true friend gently wounds you, disagrees with your ungodly lifestyle, negative and bitter conversations, and DRA, dirty, rotten attitude, in order to offer, call you to the one who was wounded for you and wants to heal your body, soul, and spirit. Friends who pet the emotions are not true friends. They are unwitting partners with the wolves who are trying to eat your lunch. Hypocrite is such a heavy word in the Bible. Preaching, teaching, proclaiming truth publicly while living a lie privately is the most common scenario. Hypocrisy is a disease. The purifying fire of the Holy Spirit received in our innermost being is the cure. Our prayer should be, rescue me from the devastating disease of hypocrisy, Lord Jesus. Yes, Father, we pray that you would rescue us to not be hypocritical kingdom men, kingdom fathers, and all the rest of us in here. But God, that we would be true, faithful, kingdom men and women after your heart fully. Yes, Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we show it by our obedience, by our love for you, walking in truth. Of course, there are many verses on building the kingdom of God. Here's something off the internet. You know, the internet can be good. You know, you can look up so many incredible, amazing things on Google. I mean, even though Google has its problems, you can find stuff about the Bible. 90 Bible verses. What's that mean? If there's 700 names and titles plus in the Bible, and there's 90 Bible verses on the kingdom of God, these are very large numbers. What's the Lord trying to say to us? If his word is what speaks to our lives. This is important. These things are important. My names are important. Use them. Activate them. Let them be part of your life. You don't need to know all 700 names. Just cry out, Jesus, like we did on the video and other things today in worship. I speak Jesus, Jesus. And if you can think of some of the other names, great. But it's all encompassed in that mighty name, that powerful name. So if he's talking about the kingdom of God 90 times, then that's just a small selection, I think. These are just part of what he says about the kingdom of God. Then we should pay attention when he says Matthew 4:17. From the time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Yes, he spoke of the kingdom often, but so many others throughout Scripture brought up the kingdom. We need to pay attention to that. Makes sense. Matthew 6:9-10. Pray then like this, O Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. What's that mean? Like it's going to drop from the sky? Or in one sense, it will someday. But another sense is it'll rise up from within us if the kingdom of God is within us. Luke 17:21. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Entering the kingdom of heaven, our Lord, Lord, better be without hypocrisy and better be without just us building our own little kingdom and mouthing things we've heard from the kingdom. That doesn't make it. That doesn't cut it. Matthew 10:7, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When we preach the gospel here or overseas, or we preach it to a person individually, we should be mentioning the kingdom. They have to enter into a whole new kingdom above all the kingdoms of the earth. They need to not get bogged down in the kingdoms of the earth. You can get bogged down listening to the news, right? I mean, you just, ugh. Can it be any worse? Yes, it can, and it will. But the thing is, the gospel is going to go out from the kingdom above all this mess. That mess is not going to stop the gospel from going out because the kingdom of God is above all these other earthly kingdoms. And we should be proclaiming the kingdom while we're proclaiming the good news because they go together. They need to be part of a different life, a different nation, a different higher government. Proclaim as you go, the kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew 13:14, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Do you believe it? Which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Jesus is our pearl of great price, and we are his pearl of great price. It's supposed to work that way. He values us, we value him. He's already poured out to value us. It's about time that we value him on a higher level, right? Higher on the rock. Don't just be satisfied you're on the rock. You want to go higher. There's higher, 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 always greater. more anointing, more things in the kingdom that we can observe to be higher on the rock. Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give us the kingdom. It's part of the joy that he has. He wants to experience all the things in the kingdom. That's why he's going to release more kingdom communication to us in the last days, to make sure we have the opportunity to stay close to him when things come slamming against the rock or slamming against the sand and we run for the rock, finally, some of us. Fear not. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's not you striving. It's you receiving. That's the way the kingdom works best. As a little, we receive as a little child. There we go. Yeah. We have to be so humble we can receive the kingdom. Not strive to get up on the rock, but receive him placing us higher on the rock. Luke 17, 20 through 21, being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. When's it going to come, Jesus? I'm sure they said it with a little bit of a snide kind of tone to it. He answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. There it is again. That's the context. He's talking to the Pharisees. Oh, you're looking for it over here. You're looking for it over here. It's going to be inside. And they probably were like, what? Huh? Because their hearts were dark. They were dead man's bones inside whitewashed tombs. And he was trying to call them to the kingdom, and they wouldn't go. But others did. Matthew 8:12. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. He preached the good news and he preached the kingdom in the name of Jesus. We can't go wrong with that, right? As you talk to people, talk to them about and where there are healings for their bodies. Yes, you have dreams during the night that you don't like, that are demonic, guess what? Become part of this other kingdom. It's that the kingdom of darkness begins to shake and leaves your house. Amen? Yes. Has anyone here ever had an extremely fearful or demonic dream in the past? Anyone here? Look at that. And people, this is experience. They are experiencing this. The people in Walmart checking us out can be having demonic dreams in just our being pleasant and loving and maybe talking to them a few minutes, giving them the heart of the Father. Suddenly they start sharing their life with us. And they say, you know, man, I was on a plane with a woman and she said, you know, I wouldn't have believed these things 6 months ago that you're trying to share with me. She was just right up. She was a businesswoman, sharp woman. I wouldn't believe these things. But my twin sister has demons. She said that. She didn't, 6 months before, she didn't even believe in spiritual things, in having anything to do with spiritual things. But she's on the plane with me. We cross paths by God's design. I offer her the heart of the Father, and she starts sharing from her heart about her twin sister having demonic things happening, and that's all she could, the only explanation she could have. She isn't just having a bad day or a bad month or a bad year. She's having demons, and she recognized it and wanted help and hope for her sister. So, of course, I gave her a heart of the Father for her sister as well. Just reading through that truth could change a person's life. But having that conversation with that woman, not just saying, oh, here you go, here's a track. You know, it's going to have more impact if we have a little bit of relationship with them when we give that out to someone. But let's not be afraid. People are having demonic dreams. They're coming up against, you know, spiritual worlds, both evil and beautiful. And we need to help them as they go on their journey. Preach the gospel, but preach the kingdom as well. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. This body was founded on the fact that we were not just going to talk. Yeah, people should go out and win the lost, and then none of us go. Yeah, people should be healed, but never do we put our hand out to help God flow through us to them for healing. Yeah, people with demons should be delivered, or people with very difficult, you know, inner workings inside of them going south. But if we don't put our hand out for deliverance, if we don't speak to them, if we don't be just talkers, we wanted to be those that stepped into the power that's available in the Holy Spirit to see lives change. And the history, the testimony has been lives have changed here in Canton and overseas. That's amazing what God has done. We should celebrate that the kingdom works. It's not just a concept. It works. Hebrews 12:28, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Grateful. Again, I say gratefulness is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it'll be true gratefulness. For a kingdom that cannot be shaken. But the good news is, well, that's good news. But the better news is that the kingdom of evil, the kingdom of darkness, will be shaken as we fully accept this kingdom of God. The kingdom that is evil will definitely be shaking in its boots. I had a vision, I don't know, a year or so ago, and it keeps coming back to me. It's about a bay, and there's a beach, there's water. And coming in on the waves is this black slick of darkness. It's a black oil slick. And it's coming in, and it's going to hit the shore. But there is also a wave that comes from the shore that goes out. It's a golden wave. And the two meet somewhere in the bay, in the middle of the bay. The golden oil easily overwhelms the black slick coming in towards the beach. You don't want the black slick of the enemy to reach your beach. You want the golden oil of the kingdom of God, of the Holy Spirit, to overwhelm that black slick. And what happened? It skittered across the water. I saw in the vision that the black slick just, it literally kind of ran, skittered across the water and headed out to sea. That's what the kingdom of God can do in our lives in any situation. So many times that'll come back to me when I'm thinking of someone to pray for. And I pray that into them, that the golden oil of the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God will overwhelm this black slick that the enemy's trying to slime on them. Pray that out for yourself. Pray that out for yourself. We're going to finish here by another declaration over our fathers. You say, well, we already had one. You don't want another one? You don't want another one? From glory to glory? Want another one? Okay, we need someone to pass these out. And we're not going through these. Okay, don't get afraid. We'll be done here with the declaration. I'd love to go through this, but I asked fathers and others in the room to use this as a devotional. You don't need to read it all at one time. Probably not a good idea even. You can read the main points. But go through the scriptures as a devotional. Go through the scriptures of this as a devotional. And you'll be more of a kingdom man or a kingdom woman. Can you help us, sir? Oh, I'm going to keep one for myself this time. You're going to get smarter as you go. So we're going to declare this to finish. If we can have the fathers stand once you have your copy. Or after, you can stand before you get your copy. Be free. Be free. We're going to pray this out as a declaration over you. 12 traits of a kingdom man. It's a kingdom father. If other men want to stand up, that's okay. If everyone wants to stand up, you can feel free. We're pretty fluid here. Not as fluid as the world with gender, but we love the ladies and we love the fathers. So you be free. Receive it all. And when you hear man, because I'll just declare out over the fathers, that includes you. We ready? Someone say they're ready. Okay. If you're ready in the back, I assume you're ready and have a copy. Father, we pray out these 12 traits of a kingdom man, and we know there are many, many more, but these are challenging enough for today. We pray these kingdom traits into each man, each woman here, Father. We know you have a plan for our lives. This isn't just coming in, getting a little piece of the puzzle, and going out and not knowing how the puzzle pieces work together. You will show us how they work together for the kingdom. So, Father, we pray over each man here that they would be a man who honors. Father, they honor you. They honor family, spiritual leaders, natural leaders, enemies, strangers, and friends, God. And if I missed any categories, Lord God, they honor where honor is due, with you being first. Thank you, God. We pray that they would be a man of covenant with God, kingdom covenant, a covenant with their spouse if they're married, a covenant with their family, a covenant with spiritual leaders, a covenant with spiritual family. Father, we pray that they would be a man who is an armor bearer and warrior. They're a loyal enabler of kingdom vision. They're a loyal supporter of kingdom visionaries. They engage the enemy under the covenant covering. They engage the enemy to win. Father, we pray that each man here will desire God's will in salvation, water baptism, baptism in the Holy Spirit, sonship, training and discipleship, inner healing and sozo for deliverance, Father. They would desire your will in ministry, in inheritance, in destiny, in stewardship. Father, we pray that each man here, and everyone really, would be a man of faith and risk, that they believe that God is good, they trust that God is generous, abundant, and not lacking. We pray each man here would be a man of presence and intimacy. Yes, Lord, they would receive the Father's love, gifts. They would worship. They would have a master-servant relationship. They would soak in rest. They would repent with humility. They would surrender and sacrifice. They would pray, asking, believing, standing, contending. They would call out on Abba Father in a father-son relationship with you, Lord. Father, we pray that each man here would value what the Father values, what you value, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and God the Father. You value people. You value the Word of God, the Logos. You value prophetic utterances, Rhema. You value Holy Spirit empowering and leading. You value revelation. You value the work of the cross that Jesus accomplished. Father, we pray for each man here who obeys the commands and commissions of Jesus. We want them to obey those commands and commissions, the Great Commission, listed in a couple of different places, Father. You want us to know we are commissioned men, commissioned kingdom men, and we are men of the great commandment to love you more than anything and love our neighbor as ourselves. Father, we pray that each man here would be a man of ministry, that salvations, healing, signs, wonders, and miracles would come into being out of their lives being offered to you and you working through them. Father, we pray for compassion for people. They really would care about the least of these and not just pick a crowd to minister to and leave others out. Father, we pray that they would have a passion for what the Father is doing, not just what they think they should do in ministry. Father, we pray that they would be involved in the prophetic, in fathering, in impartation, both receiving a mantle, passing a mantle, receiving a torch, and passing a torch. Father, we pray that they would believe in kingdom doctrine and theology. They wouldn't accept what the world or what some of the church says to limit your theology. It's your theology. It's not theirs. It's your doctrine. It's not theirs. So they must believe the entire Word of God and all that's been revealed by the Holy Spirit as well. Father, we pray that each man would take up the ministry of encouragement. They would promote unity and fellowship. They would take up the ministry of encouragement and exhortation, correction. These are not easy ministries at times, especially exhortation and correction. Encouragement, okay, we can do that. But God, only edification only comes when we do all of it. When we are called to correct, we correct in gentleness, we correct from a place of authority in some cases, Father. And there are those that shouldn't be correcting so much in here because they need more correction than they need to be correcting. They need to take the log out of their own eye before they start looking for slivers in the eyes of others. Father, we pray that each man here would be a man of character, indwelled by the Holy Spirit, baptized, empowered by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, Christ-like, exhibiting holiness and purity, exemplary in lifestyle, receiving heavenly wisdom from God, and merciful. Each man here, we pray that they would be a man of destiny for kingdom acceleration, kingdom expansion, kingdom inheritance. It's all about the kingdom, kingdom multiplication. Yes, Lord, that is possible for each man here, Father. We pray for each man who is a leader. They should be a leader. God, in some way, Father, definitely spiritual headship over the home in the proper way, not exerting control, but being the servant that Jesus was when he was a spiritual head over us and still is. Father, we pray for spiritual training of the children, God, according to the way you see it, not the way we see it, not what we're comfortable with, but what you're showing us to do with our children to train them. We pray that each man would be a leader in the spiritual sphere of influence that you've given him. Like Timothy, God, he operated in a spiritual realm of influence that Paul spoke into his life, and then he acted on it. And it was amazing, building up others and sending them out with the gospel. We pray that each man will be a leader in sonship, in fathering, in being a humble servant, in speaking life into other people. Life, 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 eternal life, abundant life, a changed life, resurrection life into others, God. We pray that each man will be a leader in and have a generational impact. It wouldn't stop with them. It wouldn't stop with their children, but it'd be unto the children's children, to the third, fourth generation in a positive way, God. That's absolutely possible as they're aligned with Holy Spirit, each man here, each woman here, Father. We thank you, God. We submit these things to you. We know you can do this in our lives, even though this is a bunch of stuff. How could we ever do this apart from you? We can't. We just admit it. We're too weak. Make us strong by the power of the Holy Spirit. Multiply our small little mustard seed in trees everywhere being planted. Let's not look at our mustard seed, but the tree that you will plant after it's multiplied when we put that mustard seed in your hand, Jesus. You multiplied everything that came into your hand. So here it is. Here's our mustard seed, Lord. Multiply unto all these areas. And this isn't the whole of the Christian life. This isn't the whole of being a kingdom man. But God, you can empower us no matter how high this seems. This is a very high bar, but we want to go for it and encourage each other to go for it. We bless them with this declaration in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Wow, thank you. Now I commission all of you to come out to Jackson Community Celebration this week, starting on Wednesday through Saturday afternoon and evening. It's every evening. So we're going to celebrate, hand out the heart of the fathers, give, as we were talking, we're going to speak life and hand out the heart of the fathers, give prophetic art as the Lord gives us pictures, what we do at First Friday. So we would love to have everyone who has that heart that he just was talking about to come out and just release the kingdom.
Amen.
Sign-up sheets, yes. So we have sign-up sheets in the back. Carly has them, so sign up. Put your name down. We want to see your name. We want to see your body. We want to see you out there. The people want to see you, too.
The best dad in the whole